Amen and amen and amen. Thank you all so much for that praise this morning. I want to thank Kelly, and I want to thank Beth, and I want to thank Ben. And I have to just say, Ben, you are dapperly dressed this morning. Ben and I came dressed the same, so that is, we've got our Easter suits on, and we're ready to go. And I'm thankful for everyone here, and Gail, thank you so much for the piano this morning. I want to welcome back both Ted and Daniel, who are back in the booth with us today. And I want to thank Jay Bodner and Tyler for just keeping everything tight and secure around here at Mint Hill Baptist Church. But I want to especially thank you all so much for joining with us today on this Resurrection Sunday. What an exciting day that we have today. But it is very different. As we are here in this place, we know that you all are at home. We are celebrating Easter in an unusual way, to say the least. I think in most of us, as we think in living memory, we've not had a time where we are like this. And as we started this service this morning in the video, it said that we may have more in common with the first Christians than we realize, as they were huddled and they were scared in that time. But I will say this, this virus will not stop us. It has not stopped God. It does not stop the tomb from being empty. I've been there. I've seen it. There's nothing in it. And it certainly, certainly does not stop the risen King from being alive and seated at the right hand of God today. And that's what we celebrate, our risen Lord. And I know that as you are sitting home, for many of you, and especially if you are tuning in, and this is the first time you've joined with Mint Hill Baptist Church, maybe someone invited you to watch this live stream, for many of you today, you may need hope. You need hope. You've been stuck at home for a while. You're going stir crazy. You want to get outside. You don't know what's going on. For many of you, jobs have already been lost. Some of you are facing the prospect that those jobs that you have now may be lost in the future, depending on how long this goes. For a great many of you I've talked to, that there is fear, there is anxiety, there is doubt. You don't exactly know who to trust in all of this. This isolation is making you lonely, and you desire fellowship with others. And for many of you, you may be asking, where is God in the coronavirus? Where is he in this? And maybe for the first time, many of you are seeking him. See, this virus is doing something to us, and it's not just keeping us indoors, and it's not just making us sick. What this virus is doing is it's stripping away our comfort. It is stripping things from us that we have used to prop ourselves up. And now today we feel naked and vulnerable, and we don't know what to do. And see, when things like this occur, when we get to a point like this, when our comfort is taken away from us, it forces us to focus on what's most important. And for many, for the first time, there is a true and honest focus on God. See, when our comfort is taken away from us, we can see God more clearly. It's not clouded by those things that we rely on. See, comfort kills the call of God. Comfort kills the call of God. And so as God has taken away that comfort, we can see him more clearly. And so today, I want to focus on how do we restore hope? How to restore hope in our lives in the midst of this virus? How to restore hope this Easter? And I find it in Luke chapter 24. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 9. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 9. And though you may be at home, I would ask you, if you are able, to please stand in the honor of the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 9. It says this: On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." Amen. Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. And Father, I pray that as we look at your word, Father, we see clearly Jesus Christ, your Son, given to us to die for our sins and is now gloriously resurrected to give us a hope for our future. Father, I pray just like these women, Lord, that you would restore our hope as we see the risen Christ. Oh, Father, I pray that you would work in the hearts and the minds of all those who are gathered around devices today, whether they be phones or TVs or computers. Lord, speak into your people. Father, I pray that you would now speak through me. Lord, give me a fresh anointing to give a word to your people. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, I pray this in the sweet and blessed, powerful and living name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we pick up in Scripture, what we see from the get-go is Christ has been crucified on what we call Good Friday. It was not good for the followers of Jesus that day as they saw their Lord and Savior crucified on the cross. And then came Saturday, the Sabbath rest, and then we call that the Silent Saturday, and everyone was home, and they were without hope. They thought everything was over, and all there was in their heart was destitution. And see, they were afraid. They were afraid of the government. They were afraid of the Sanhedrin. They were afraid of the Jewish High Council. They didn't want to come out. They were in their homes, and they felt hopeless. But early on that Sunday morning, women came to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus. And as they walk up to the tomb, they see that the rock has been rolled away. They see men standing there, two men, bright, gleaming. And they didn't know what was going on. They're in a graveyard. What's going on? And the men reach out to the women and they say, "What are you doing here?" And see, as it says, they were perplexed. But the rest of us, there's this beauty in what the angels are saying to the women and that I want us to hear this morning. See, how can we find hope today? Well, there's three things that I see in the text that show us how to have hope. How do we have hope today? The first of which is this. We need to stop searching for life in dead places. We need to stop searching for life in dead places. Look again at verses 5 and 6. And so the women were terrified and bowed to the ground. And here's the question that we need to concentrate on today. What the angels say, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen." This is an amazing question that we need to consider. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? In your translation, it may say the living one among the dead. And it is a beautiful question because the angels were telling them, Jesus is not dead. Why are you in a graveyard? He is alive. He is resurrected. And see, the women, as they've stepped in, into this graveyard, they're looking for a dead man in a dead place. So they're not looking for life here. They're in a dead place, and the angels say, why are you here? Stop looking for life amongst dead things. And see, that's our problem as well. We are trying to find life in dead things. We're searching desperately for that spark of life, but we're doing it in all the wrong places. We have gone to the graveyard of the soul, and we have gone to the graveyard of this world, and we're desperately trying to find life. It's like having a stuffed cat in your house. Now, I say that, and some of you may, but that's kind of odd to have a stuffed cat. But having that stuffed cat, hopefully you recognize that stuffed cat is dead. And you're not looking for that cat to bring you joy in life. And that you're petting that cat hoping that you're going to get the feedback that a cat gives you. Because that cat's dead. And so in the same way, when we go through our life, we keep trying to find joy and hope and peace and life in things that are dead. For us today with COVID-19, what we may be seeking after the most for life is in science. Maybe science will solve this problem. No, science is dead. The scientists don't know what's going on. They keep trying to fight it, and you watch the news, it changes every day. We go from we may be able to get past this in a couple of months to this may not be done until November to we may have to face this the rest of our life. Science has no idea. It's dead. Maybe you're trying to find life in the government. They're going to give you a stimulus check. They're going to try to make sure that your business stays alive. The government is trying to regulate this going on. No, the government's dead. If you've ever been to the DMV, you know how well the government works. And it's different. Even here in Mecklenburg, it's different than it is in Union County. That's different in North Carolina. That's different in the entire nation. No, friends, the government is dead. It will pass away. Don't put your hope in the government. Don't try to find life in that. Maybe you're trying to find life in your job. You see all the meaning that comes from your job, and you need the income. No. If this virus hasn't taught you anything else, it's that your job can be over in a blink of an eye. Your job is dead. What about your money, your retirement, your savings? Again, 4 weeks ago, we had no idea. Now the stock market has crashed. We may be facing another great depression, not recession. Your money is not going to save you. For many of you, it may already be gone. What about your family? You're going to find life in your family. We do find comfort in our homes. We do find comfort with our spouses and with our children and with our parents. But they too will pass. And they give comfort only for so long. And I know even now that for some, being at home is the riskiest place you can be. Domestic violence is on the rise. So you're not going to find life in your family. Maybe you find life in the internet. And you try to hold on to those vestiges of reaching out and connecting with people. And maybe you are searching for things that give you a rush. But you know as well as I know, those things are dead. They give you no joy. They give you no hope. Maybe you're searching in alcohol and drugs because they take you away from all this and they make you feel alive until such a time as they're done with you and they've ravaged you and you're left hungover or you are left in a daze and you don't know what has even happened to you and you wake up worse than you were before you ever started. Not only are those things dead, they're killing you. Maybe you are seeking life in friendships. And certainly we know that if you gather 10 or more, that really is death. But you know that that friendship that you have, it's not going to speak into your soul. It's not going to give you the life that you're seeking. See, nothing in this life, on this earth, is alive. It all perishes. It all goes away. So when you put your hope in anything of this world, anything of this world, you put your hope in a dead thing. So why do we do this? Why do we seek life in dead places? Well, maybe like the women, as they have approached the tomb, it's coming down to a simple state of unbelief. See, Jesus had been telling his disciples this would occur. And he told them that he would be resurrected on the third day. They weren't there. The women didn't go expecting Jesus to be alive. They expected him to be dead. So they didn't believe that he would be resurrected on this day. Maybe you're searching for life in dead places because it really does bring you comfort. And now that you are disturbed from your comfort, you're recognizing just how dead comfort really is. But maybe for you today, you just don't know any better. You've not known this Jesus. And you have not seen where life really is. And so I am thankful, if that is you, that I can present to you and tell you about the one true living King today. See, we need to stop looking for life in dead places, and we need to start seeking after the only thing that is alive, Jesus Christ. This is what Scripture tells us. This is what Jesus tells us about himself, that he is living water in John 7:38, that he is the bread of life in John 6:35, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life in John 11:25 and 26, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. We see that Jesus is the living one in Revelation 1:18. And we see in 1 Peter 1:3 that Jesus Christ is our living hope. Our living hope. Jesus is the only one you should be seeking after today to find life, because he is alive. He is not dead. And he has taken the keys to death and Hades with him. He is alive. Hallelujah. And see, when the women heard this, and the angels say, remember what you've heard, they realized they were in the wrong place. They were in a place of dead people. And they needed to go and find the living one. See, graveyards are for the dead, and Jesus is alive. And so don't seek after anything living in the graveyard of this life. Seek after Jesus Christ, and you will have restored hope. So don't stop looking for life in dead places. The second thing I want to share with you today on how to restore hope is this, is you need to recognize the necessity of Christ's sacrifice for you. Recognize the necessity of Christ's sacrifice for you. Look again at verse 7. The angel said, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. What an amazing word, necessary. And see, in your translation, and in fact, most translations that I looked at as I was preparing for this, that's translated as must. That's a great way of doing this. Necessary, must. It's a powerful word. It is a big word that if you read it too quickly, you skip over it. Necessary that Jesus be betrayed. Necessary that Jesus die. Necessary that he is raised. It must happen. Why? Why? Let me tell you a few things. It must happen because God's promises are true. God's promises are true. If you go all the way back to Genesis, in the moment where man sinned and fell from grace, where Satan has tempted and all seems lost, God says in that moment, there will come a day where will come one that will crush the head of death. God already had his plan. And God had already promised us life again. And if you look through the entirety of the Old Testament, in every single instance points to Jesus Christ. And if you go into the New Testament, everything in the New Testament points back to Jesus Christ. All of it is aimed at Jesus Christ because God promised He would rescue humanity. And why did God promise He would rescue humanity? Because He loves us. See, this promise we can find in Acts 2, 23 through 24. It says, though He was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, You used lawless people to nail Him to the cross and kill Him. God raised Him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for Him to be held by death. Oh, wow. Powerful. His promises are true, so this must happen. Fulfills the promise of God and how much He loves us. But we also see in this that Jesus must be killed. It is necessary for Jesus to be killed. Why? Because we see in Scripture that sin always yields death. There is always death for sin. Even in the beginning, in the garden, animals had to die to clothe Adam and Eve. But Romans 6:23 tells us so powerfully, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Every time you sin, there's a payment to death. And so death follows sin. But we also see why Jesus had to die, must die, is because He became sin and died for you and He died for me. He is the sacrifice. He died for your sin so that you would not die. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The righteous one is killed so that we might live. Jesus must be killed. We also see that Jesus must be raised. He must. It is necessary for Him to be raised. Why? So that we might be justified before God. Romans 4:25, He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That's a big word, which means that we are made righteous before God. That when the verdict yields down, it yields down not guilty. So Jesus died for our sins and was raised for our righteousness, for our justification. And if Jesus was not raised, none of this matters. I don't need to be here. I don't need to tell you anything. You don't need to be watching. You just need to wallow in hopelessness. We see in Scripture on this, 1 Corinthians 15:14-17 says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. But hallelujah, Christ is raised. He must be raised. It is necessary for Him to be raised so that He takes away death and gives us justice and righteousness and eternal life. Because if He is not, then He's just a man in a tomb. We see from these women that He is not. He is alive and is alive today. He is risen. It is necessary for Him to be raised. But the most important reason for this word must, this word necessary, it must happen this way because there is no other way. There is no other way. It must happen for you, because you cannot do it yourself. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You cannot save yourself. You cannot raise yourself from the dead. You cannot earn eternal life because you cannot satisfy God's justice. You cannot satisfy God's wrath. Who can do this if not you? Only God Himself. Only God Himself can satisfy His justice and His wrath. Only God can give us mercy and does so through Jesus. See, God loves you, but God does not love sin. Sin cannot be in His presence. And so God desires to separate you from your sin. And He does this in Jesus Christ, His only Son, because Jesus became sin for you. He became your sin. Every last sin you've committed, He became that for you. But if you do not believe in Him and you reject Him, your sin remains. And you cannot do anything about it. So, the must-ness of God, the necessary of God, the death and resurrection of Christ is a must for you. This is the only way. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us this. For Christ also suffered from sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He may bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. What's the must-ness of Jesus' sacrifice and Jesus' resurrection? That He might bring you to God. And if you recognize today the beautiful necessity of God's love for you and Christ's sacrifice for you, you will be made alive and your hope will be restored. Finally, how do you find hope today? How can hope be restored in your life? The last thing I see is this, is we need to remember the Word of God. We need to remember the Word of God. Look at the second part of verse 6 all the way through 9. He says this, remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying, it is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And listen to the reaction from the women. And they remembered His words. They remembered His words. And then what do they do from there? It says, returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Once they remembered the words of Jesus Christ, their despair turned into joy. Their hopelessness was given over to hope because they remembered what He said, and they ran back to the apostles and told them. See, some of you today are wondering as you sit there, why doesn't God speak to me? I want a word from God. Why doesn't God speak to me? How come I can't hear Him? And I will say to you, He does. God speaks, and He speaks often. The problem may very well be is that you're not listening. See, God speaks throughout the entirety of this book. This is His Word, and He speaks through thousands of pages and gives us life in those pages. He speaks often. And for many of you, there will only be one word that you remember from what God has given us, and that is John 3:16. See, this is still in our cultural conscience that we can all recite it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have eternal life. We have that memorized. It is in our hearts. And if that is the one word of God that you remember today, let that stir and awaken you the great truth of the gospel, that God loves you and you are necessary. And that Jesus died for you, and that Jesus is now alive and reigns so that you may be with God. For God so loved you that he gave his Son. So remember this verse and let it awaken you the life that you are seeking. So seek after this one that has been given to you that brings you life. Seek after more of what God has to say. Find that Bible that's on your shelf. Blow off the dust. Open it up and you say, where? It doesn't matter. Start reading. I promise you God will speak. See, in his word, he gives us so many other words that speak into suffering and anxiety, that speak into disease and joy and happiness and life and marriage and family and what do I do and money and everything else. God speaks. And he wants to speak so desperately into your heart today and to show you the one true and living King. You remember what God says. Once you remember the words of Jesus, you'll become like the women. You'll believe. You'll rejoice. And once you have this life, you'll tell others. See, because they're in a graveyard and they're trying to find life and they can't. And you can say, I can tell you where life is. I can tell you the living water that has welled up inside of me. I can tell you the bread of life. I can tell you the truth. I can tell you the eternal hope and life in hope that I have through Jesus Christ. You'll find life. And I promise you that. So these are the three ways that I see today that our hope can be restored, is that we need to stop searching for life in dead places. We need to recognize the necessity of Christ's sacrifice for us, and we must remember the word of God spoken to us. This is how you will have hope restored today, even in the midst of this pandemic, even in the midst of this quarantine and this stay at home. All you must do is believe. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was raised by God, and now sits at God's mighty right hand alive today as Lord and King of kings. Confess your sins and cry out to him, Lord, save me. I want this life. I'm tired of seeking for life in dead places. I want this life. Save me. And then just receive him as Lord. Jesus saved me so many years ago. And I have been all the richer for it. I'm not rich in this world, but I am rich in joy. I am rich in hope. And yes, I cry. And I despair, and I have anxiety, but there is a beauty when I turn to God, and his Son speaks into my heart, and he says, fear not, for I have given you living hope. And I can taste the kingdom of God, and it is good. And nothing of this world matters. And that's what I desire for you. Today, stop seeking after dead things and start looking for the living one. Stop being dead yourself today and come alive. Come alive because Christ is risen from the dead. Come alive because he is alive and wants you to live. Oh, that's my prayer for you today. And if you are watching today and you are praying that and you desire that, this is what I want you to do. Leave a comment if you're on Facebook or YouTube or wherever. Leave a comment and say, yes, 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 I want to be alive. And I want to reach out to you. I'll message you and reach out to you. I want to pray with you. I want to tell you more about this Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you're not on Facebook. Maybe you're watching from somewhere else. Email me. You can email the church. Go to info@minthillbc.org. info@minthillbc.org. I want to tell you more about this Jesus. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to pray here in a moment. And I want to invite you to pray with me. If you desire Christ Jesus as Lord, I want you to pray with me and you just say, Lord, I believe. I believe. I want to be made alive, rescued, save me. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I recognize my sin is what nailed him to the cross. I recognize the vileness of my sin. Save me from death in Jesus. And he will. And he will. Because he is alive. And he will give you life today. Let's pray. Oh, glorious God, eternal Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ. King of kings, Lord of lords, Lord, our tongues confess today that he is risen, he is risen, he is risen indeed. And oh, Father, there is life in this place, and there is life in the Word of God, and there is life in Jesus. And it's the only place we can find it. And Father, I pray right now for anyone who may be watching, Lord, that does not know you, does not know your Son, that Father, that you have stirred in their hearts and you are working in them, and that they are crying out now, Lord, save me. Father, I know. And I trust and I have faith and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will rescue them right now and you will birth them into new life. Father, I pray that they would confess Jesus as Lord. Lord, that they would repent of their sin and recognize the terror of sin. And Father, that know that as they confess Jesus as Lord and they believe in their heart, Lord, that their sin is wiped away from them as the east is from the west. And Lord, a dead heart beats again. And this will be the first beat that will last for a million, million, million years and beyond throughout all eternity. It will never stop. Because Jesus is alive and the tomb is empty. Praise be your name, Lord of lords, host of heaven, God Almighty. And I pray this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.